Good morning. Thank you, Bart. Appreciate you reading that for us. And thank you, worship team. Wasn't that a beautiful song that they just sang? That was so beautiful. It's going to be tough following that baby dedication because you just heard five beautiful sermons that they spoke to their children. Parents, I am proud of you. That was awesome. As you look out on the year 2020, that's coming fast and furious at us, what do you see? Or maybe the better question to ask is, as you look out on 2020, what do you hope to see? If 2019 went smoothly for you, maybe you're just hoping that 2020 will go just like 2019. Or maybe as you look back on 2019, you're so glad that it's over, you just hope that 2020 isn't anything like it. I've had years like that. There's something about looking into the new year that always has promise of a new hope. A hope that something is better, something more peaceful, less tiring, less stressful. A year where you finally get to achieve that elusive dream. Looking back, we can almost always see something that could use improvement, can't we? Something we know we should have done but didn't, something we shouldn't have said but did, and someone we should have loved more and we should have spent more time with, but again, once again, we fall short. But this year, it's going to be different, right? So each year about this time, we set new goals and we set new resolutions. This year, we're going to work out more with the hope to lose those few pounds instead of gaining them. I started this year saying that I was going to lose 10 pounds. I only have 20 to go. We hope to stay on a budget this year. We hope to save for retirement, finally. We hope to spend more time with our kids and our spouse. And this year we're going to take that meaningful vacation that doesn't get interrupted by other demands or conflicts. We hope to build back family relationships that were fractured by wrong words or wrong actions. We hope to finally quit those bad habits and repetitive sins that has kept us defeated year after year. As we look out on 2020, we all hope this year will be better, less stressful, more fulfilling, and more meaningful. But what is that hope based upon? Fate? Renewed effort? Self-denial? Is your hope based upon starting this year with a stronger resolve to work harder at keeping all those balls in the air that came crashing down around you last year? Is your hope best based upon a just say no to the sins and habits that have tripped you up and held you captive year after year? Or maybe this year your hope is based upon just having fun and just refuse to let anything bother you and you just resolve to push all the bad aside and just live on good positive thoughts. Well, how's that been working for you so far? Unfortunately, these are the things that most of us, even Christians, put our hope in year after year. Why? Because most of us have more trust in our own power to change things than we have in God's power. And if we never seek to truly know and understand the power of God and what He is able to do in and around us, it will remain our natural default to trust more in our own strength and our own abilities than in His. But what if? What if in 2020 we obtained a real 2020 vision of what God could do? And what, during this year, if we put our trust completely in His power instead of our own? And what if by our prayers and our faith we put God to work this year instead of just hoping for a year that is less stressful and more meaningful with stronger relationships than ever before, we watched God solve, fulfill, build back, and obtain for us what we never could on our own. Listen again to Ephesians 3:20 through 21 that we just read. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. There's several things that I want us to consider this morning, and the first is this. God's power is far more abundant when we believe he is able. When we believe he is able. The first six words of verse 20 say exactly that. Now to him who is able. The question is, do we really know and believe that he is able? In the last verse that Dave covered a couple of weeks ago, in verse 19, Paul prays for this Ephesian church to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to me, spiritually speaking, that's a pretty big prayer. Think about this. If you were to pray that for me, how much effort would you have to put into that so that I would obtain it? Zero. For me to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, including your knowledge, and for him to fill me up with all the fullness of God, I really don't see your ability to do that for me. Except for your prayer asking God to do it, you would be completely powerless to do that work in me. You see that? Now, most of us are able to grasp the truth that God, by his own power and his power alone, is what saves us. In our study of Ephesians so far, we know that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. So any hope of salvation would clearly be by the power of God. But what about after that? What about our sanctification, or how we live out that salvation? When you think of sanctification, when you think of obeying Christ, when you think of maturing and following our Lord Jesus Christ, whose power do you believe is behind that? Is it God's? Is it ours? Or maybe it's a little combination of both? Look at verse 20 again. Look that it doesn't say that we are able to do exceeding abundantly beyond what we can ask or imagine by the power that works in us. That's what makes sense to me. In other words, by God's power, I should be able to do more. But what it says is that he is able to do exceeding abundantly by the power that works in us. He takes us completely out of the equation. When you look out on the new year and you start making a hopeful resolution for a more vibrant Christian life, who do you rely on to fulfill those resolutions? Is it you, as you plan to do better, work harder, love more, serve more, say no to wrong things and start to do the right things? Or is it by verse 20 that God is able by the power that works in you? As I look at what Paul prays for in verse 19, it is only the power of God that can fill me and give me the knowledge that surpasses all human knowledge. Do we agree with that? So maybe, just maybe, the only resolution that we should make in 2020 is to pray that we would learn to know that God is truly able, and that we could clearly see and experience the fullness of God's power in and through our life. But if we're going to resolve to do that, we must first believe that God is more powerful and more able than us. Otherwise, we will fall back operating in the same old operating cycle year after year of the try and fail cycle. So we have to start with this simple premise, that if God desires something better for us, if he commands us to obey him, or if he asks us to follow him into something that seems too big for us, we must believe that it is his power that will accomplish it. Unfortunately, though, when we look back at our failures, disappointments, and fears, we often assume, if I can't fix it, how can God? So let me attempt to understand God's power from a biblical perspective. Let's see if we can see this truth. Six different times in the book of Ezekiel, God speaks of things that man has no power to pull off. Things like bringing life back to desert places, or bringing dry trees back and have them flourish, or give his spirit to his people. And each time that he declares these things, he ends with this statement of fact: I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it. He is God, and if he said it, if he commanded it, he is able to do it, and he is able to do it far more abundantly than we can imagine. When the people of Israel were leaving Egypt, ending 400 years of slavery, you would think that after watching God's power bring the plagues onto the Egyptians that set them free, you would think that they would be able to see him as being able to do anything that he said he could do, right? But yet when they looked over their shoulder and they saw the Egyptian army being chasing them, they completely lost hope and they started whining to Moses. Now listen to what they said. Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? But Moses' response to their whining was this: fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall never see again. And you know how the story goes. God's power alone parted the Red Sea. They walked through the sea on dry land, and when the Egyptian army went through it, they drowned. Do we believe that God is able to do that? Do we believe that he is that able? When we find ourselves in seemingly helpless situations, do we stand firm and only hope in him? Or is our first hope in our ability to build a bridge across the Red Sea? Or maybe we just give up and succumb to captivity once again because we're too weak to do it on our own? Another example of God's power in the Bible might be my favorite. It comes from 2 Kings chapter 6, and we are told that the prophet Elisha was being surrounded by the army of the king of Aram, and he was coming at him with all his horses and chariots to take him captive. And when Elisha's servant looked out and he saw this huge army, this is what he said in verse 15: "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Now, let's be honest. Isn't that the question? What can we do that is our usual response when things seem hopeless? What am I going to do now? Seldom is there the anticipation of what God can do, but rather, what can I do? But listen to Elisha's response. And he said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. What if we prayed in 2020 that God would open our eyes so we can see his power? I could go on and talk about Abraham, who God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son Isaac, even though I'm sure that even though I'm sure that Abraham thought that was the most ridiculous, nonsensical question or request he's ever asked. But yet we are told in Hebrews 11:19 that he obeyed right up to the point where God stopped him because he considered that God was able to raise his son from the dead. He believed God was able. Or Peter, who in prison and in chains, when suddenly, because of the prayers of the church, his shackles supernaturally fell off and the prison doors were open, and he left him free to go by the power of God alone. Or when Sarah heard that she was to become pregnant with her first child when she was 90 years old and couldn't help but laugh at the absurdity of it all. But the Lord responded with the rhetorical question that we all need to remember. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? So here's my point, in case you missed it. To experience God's power in 2020 is to first believe that God is able, that nothing is too difficult for him, that he is able to do more than we can imagine, more than our earthly limitations allow us to think, and even more that our faith allows us to dream. But how do we engage this power? And how do we learn to trust it? Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked it. The second thing I want us to look at this morning is God's power is far more abundant when we ask with faith-stretching prayers. When we ask with faith-stretching prayers. When I see in verse 20 that God is able to do far more abundantly than I can ask or think, that's a pretty amazing thought. To think that my imagination is abundantly less than God's power and ability, and to think that anything I may ask of him can't even begin to measure up to his power, I'm ashamed of how I pray. The psalmist exclaimed in Psalm 33, 6 and 9, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Or as Jeremiah 32, 17 exclaimed, O Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. G. Campbell Morgan was once asked if we should bother God with the small things or if we should just pray for the big things. And G. Campbell Morgan answered that question by saying, are there any big things in your life that God can't handle? Because to God, they're all little things. A few years back, one of my grandsons came up to me and he placed a toy on my lap and he just said one word, broken. And one of the wheels that he had on his toy had come off, so I took it from him and I put it back together and I handed it to him and off he went. Never a doubt in his mind whatsoever that I could fix it. What if we prayed like that? Hear God, it's broken. I'm broken. To me, this is such a big thing, but to you, it's just a little thing. So you fix it. Why do we spend so much time and effort trying to fix things ourselves only to end up in frustration realizing we failed or made it worse? And then when we finally take the mess to God, hoping he can fix it, we often have very little faith he can, because most of the time we only gauge God's ability by our power and our limitations. Listen, church, we need to start praying with much bigger imaginations of what God can do. Phillips Brooks, an early 20th century minister and lyricist, for the Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, he wrote this. Pray the largest prayers. You cannot think a prayer so large that God, in answering it, will not wish you had made it larger. pray not for crutches, but for wings. What if in 2020 we started believing that God was able to do far more abundantly than we could ask or imagine? What if our prayers were of things that stretched our faith so far beyond our abilities that we knew only God could answer them? What if we prayed for our marriages and our families and our church and our neighbors, our jobs, and the sinful patterns that we have never been able to shake, or the constant failure to be obedient to the Word of God, and ended that prayer acknowledging that nothing is impossible for God? What if we stopped trying so hard and prayed more, God, it's broken, you fix it. To me, it's such a big thing, but to you, it's such a little thing. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of trying. So what do you say that this year we stretch our faith with big prayers and watch the power of God do it? Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me, because praying faith-stretching prayers is not making God your servant or your genie in a bottle. You want it, and poof, he gives it to you. Praying faith-stretching prayers and knowing God is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine is also knowing that his great power will always intercede and will give or lead us to what is best for us and for his glory, not just because we want it. The third thing we want to look at this morning is God's power is far more abundant when we acknowledge he knows what is best. When he knows what is best. Some of my most faith-stretching times in my life is when God didn't give me what I wanted. There were times that I prayed for something that seemed so logical and clear to me that it was the right thing, only to hear God say no or not yet. But as I look back on many of those times, if he would have said yes to me, it wouldn't have been the best for me. And it would have led me into harm's way, or it would have stifled my Christian maturity. So faith-stretching prayers will always know two things about God. The first is that we've already looked at, that he is able. In other words, he is completely able to give you what you ask for. He just might not. But the second is the reason that he might not give you what you ask for, in that God is always good. God is able, but he is also good. Jesus said in Matthew 7 through 11, listen as I read it. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks for bread, he will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Now, clearly, as I read that, these verses are about God's ability and willingness to give us what we ask for, because he loves us as a good father. But what if we don't know what is good for us? What if we didn't know to ask for bread and ask for a stone? Would he give us a snake just because we asked for it? No, because he only gives good gifts to his children. You see, a child doesn't always know what's best for him, but his father does. So there will be times when the answer is no, and it's the very best gift that God can give us. There are times when faith stretching requires us to wait and persist in praying, not because God can't answer quickly, because in order to stretch our faith, he will have to test us and train us to not run ahead of him or try to manipulate things and do things in our own strength of what we think is best. James 1, 2 through 4 says this, "Count it all joys, my brother, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and steadfastness requires what will have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing." You see, we go through trials and we immediately start praying, "God, get me out of this. Stop this. I don't want to go through this." But yet God will sometimes delay the answer to that prayer in order to make us perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Listen, if God is able to do more abundantly than we can ask or imagine, that means that if what we ask for or what we think we need falls way short of what is best for us, God's power, the power that works within us, will step in order to give us beyond what we ask for in order to perfect us and complete us. Think of it like this. To say that God is able to do more than what we ask or think doesn't mean if you ask for a frying pan, he's going to give you a whole new kitchen. And it doesn't mean if you ask for a bicycle, he's going to give you a Lamborghini. What it means is if we ask what we ask for falls short of what is truly great for us, he will step in and give us more than we could even think to ask for. Remember Paul's prayer in verse 18 and 19? That we would know the breadth, height, depth of the love of Christ, and that love that surpasses all knowledge, and that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. These are the very best gifts. But in order to give those gifts to us, he will sometimes interrupt our want list in order to give us what is the best. This is God's power giving us more than we can ask or think or what we want or need. This is God's love that surpasses knowledge, filling us with all the fullness of God until you and I are lacking in nothing. Imagine if this year we all believed God was able. So he's prayed faith-stretching prayers, knowing that God had power to answer with good things beyond what we're asking or what we could even think to ask. And imagine the joy of trusting in the power of God at work in us, not our power, but his power alone to perfect us by whatever means he deems best. What do you think would happen? What would the church look like? Verse 21. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Listen, I don't want you to miss this. God's unimaginable power that is beyond comprehension, God's power that is working within us, is given to you and I for one reason: to give God glory. It isn't to give you more stuff and adorn you so that you can be more noticeable. It is to make him more noticeable. And that also goes for our service in the church as well. Any ability or knowledge that I have as I stand up here this morning, any gift or ability that the worship team displayed earlier, any talent or wisdom that you and I have in order to serve God in his church is given by the power of God for one reason: to bring glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, "For whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." I'm going to be bold this morning, and I'm going to ask you all to make one New Year's resolution, just one. And that is to pray that by the end of 2020, that you will know and be in awe of the power of God. That when you think of him, that you would know that he is able to do far more abundantly than you can ask or imagine. That you would see and be humbled by his work in your life so that we all, his church, might with one voice bring glory to God. I'm going to tell you how I've resolved to pray in 2020, and I am humbly asking you to join me. There's four things. The first is pray for God to show you his power. We need to set our power aside and wait for God's power to show up. We need to start trying to fix things and manipulate things to go our way. We need to pray, we need to trust him to do it and watch him work for real change in our lives. The second thing is we need to pray really big prayers, believing he is able to do it. Because if he is able beyond my imagination, I can't outpray his ability. And if we pray those really big faith-stretching prayers, there will be times where you and I will have to end that prayer with, Lord, I want to believe, please help my unbelief. But we need to keep praying those prayers, looking to him to answer. The third thing that I'm going to do this year is I'm going to keep a prayer journal. I've done this in the past, and I'm going to do it this year. Sometimes I just sit at my computer while I'm praying, and I just type out what I'm praying. And I put the date, and I just go week day after day, as it scrolls through the year. And I look back often at that list of things that I prayed for, and I highlight the things that God answered. Do that with me. Keep a journal. And the last thing I want us to do this year is share God's answers with others. Share God's answers with others. Let's bring glory to God by encouraging others with answers, his powerful answers to our prayers. Maybe this is even something you may want to add in your home group as a topic. What are the big prayers that God has answered for you this year? And this is my prayer. By this time next year, we would know and declare that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the work of the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we are humbled by when we think of your power. So often we consider that you are just maybe slightly above our ability, so when we run out of gas, we give it to you with very little hope that you can do something. Father, I pray that you would change that in this church. I pray, Lord, that we would start praying that the sins that stumble us, that, Lord, that we would give those to you, that we would put our trying and effort on the back burner and pray earnestly that your power and you could do it when we cannot. We would hand it to you and say, I'm broken. You fix it and watch you work. Lord, I pray for our families this year that are struggling. I pray, Lord, that you would bring back and mend those back by your power alone, not by what we can do, but, Lord, that our prayers would be faith-stretching, knowing that you can when we can't. I pray for our children that are not walking with you, Lord, that you would bring them back to you, knowing that only you can do it, that no one can resist you, so it has to be your power. And that we would rely completely on you. I pray for those who are struggling in their jobs, Lord, that they would begin to pray earnestly that you would make a difference in not only their job, but in their life as they look at that job. And Lord, I pray that as we ask for things around us to change, and we ask for things around us to be different and that you would work in them, I pray that you would do something that we don't usually ask for. But you can do unimaginable things to us when you change us by your word. I pray, Lord, that you would change our hearts to know you and to know your power and to know your authority and your ability is beyond much more than we can ask or imagine. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.